Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. And we will go to the calls in just a moment, but I want to set up today's broadcast by talking about the issue of an abortion. What is an abortion? Abortion has touched the lives of virtually everyone. I don't know of anyone that has not been touched by the specter of abortion. But those who continue to fight legislation restricting abortion are in reality not pro-choice. In truth, they are singularly pro-murder. Rhetoric has served to camouflage the carnage of abortion, but it remains the painful killing of an innocent human being. And why do I say that? I say that because abortion is painful in that the methods employed to kill a preborn child involve, I know this is hard to hear, but it's true, burning, smothering, dismembering, crushing. And such procedures are executed on live babies who have not even been specifically anesthetized. Furthermore, abortion involves killing. The zygote, which fulfills the criteria needed to establish the existence of biological life, in other words, metabolism, development, the ability to react to stimuli, cell reproduction, and the like, is terminated. And never forget this, in Woman and the New Race, Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger tacitly acknowledged the point when she said the most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is kill it. One final point, abortion kills innocent human beings. I say that because the child who is terminated is the product of human parents, has a totally distinct human genetic code. And although the emerging embryo does not have a fully developed personality, it does have complete personhood from the moment of conception. And therefore, far from deserving capital punishment, these innocent human beings deserve care and protection. Well, thankfully, in God's economy, there is hope for those who have experienced the ravages of abortion. Not only can they receive God's forgiveness in the here and now, but they can as yet look forward to the ecstasy of reuniting with their unborn loved ones in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. All of that from an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I should also mention, for those who join the Bible Answer Man support team, I'll send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, as I mentioned, we're going to go right to your calls. First person up is Jay, listening in Florida. Hi, Jay.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Discussing this issue on voting for a president, and I can share the scripture with you that the Lord shared with me on why not to vote, and that is 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and I would highly encourage every listener to go prayerfully consider that, read that scripture as 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and see what happens when you choose a man over God, and let everybody make that decision for themselves by the scriptures that they're reading and not by the decisions and the thoughts of man.
Yeah, well, here's the danger in what you just said, with all due respect. This is the same mistake as saying, the Bible teaches that eating shellfish is an abomination. You have to understand what's going on in the Old Testament. There was, within the context of the Old Testament, a theocratic kingdom with God ruling directly over a people. We no longer have a theocratic context, and therefore Jesus himself abrogated the law, which was established in a theocratic kingdom. Why? Because it was a law pointing forward to a substance. It was, in fact, a shadow. When the substance came, and of course that substance is Jesus Christ made very plain that the law had pointed to something, and he was that someone the law was pointing to. He said, "It is not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It is that which proceeds from the heart." And Mark then appends those remarks by saying, in saying that, Jesus declared all foods clean. So I think while it is very important for us to read the Old Testament and understand the Old Testament, it's also important for us to understand that civil and ceremonial laws that were part of a theocratic kingdom, not to mention a theocratic kingdom itself, is not the rule of law today. We don't live in a theocracy. And Romans chapter 13 says clearly that we are to obey the governing authorities. And since we live in a democratic republic, it is our obligation to vote. I don't know how I can say it any more clearly than that. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Jeremy. Jeremy is listening in Minnesota. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Hank. This is a question about the Mormon religion.
Yeah.
Okay. So right now the Mormon religion is very, like, loyal to Israel. Is that because the temple is there? And if so, does that change when they built their temple in Missouri?
Well, interesting question. You know, when we talk about Mormonism, we're talking about the largest American-grown religion in history. And here's the backdrop in answering that question. Joseph Smith alleged that God, and by the way, Joseph Smith was a founder of Mormonism, he alleged that God had told him that the return of Jesus Christ would take place before he was 85 years of age. So he thought everything was going to take place in that epoch. And millennial madness so gripped Smith that he laid a cornerstone in Jackson County, Missouri, at the exact location that he thought the millennial temple would be constructed. So that's where he thought the millennial temple would be. And then he wrote in Doctrine and Covenants, "Thus saith the Lord your God, behold, the place which is now called Independence is the center place, and the spot, for the temple is lying westward upon a lot which is now not far from the courthouse." Mitt Romney said something very similar. He said that throughout the Bible, Christ appears in Jerusalem, splits the Mount of Olives in order to stop a war that's coming to kill all the Jews. Then he said, "Our church believes that. We also believe that over the 1,000 years that follows, the millennium, Jesus Christ will reign from two places. The law is going to come forth from one place in Missouri, the other will be in Jerusalem." So getting back to Joseph Smith, he believed that the Garden of Eden was located in western Missouri, that Adam would return to the state of Missouri to prepare the way for the millennium, and he even claimed to have discerned that a pile of rocks he stumbled upon were the remains of an altar Adam had built with his own hands in Davies County. Now, why do I point that out? Simply to say that this is an American-grown religion, so why wouldn't they think that this is the epicenter of what's going to happen in the future?
But are they loyal to Israel because of the temple, or...
Well, no. They're loyal to Israel for a variety of reasons, and I don't think that you can unilaterally say they in sort of, you know, a way of talking about all Mormons. I mean, Mormons have various views, just as Christians have various views, but the basic millennial madness that Joseph Smith embraced is part and parcel of Mormonism today. I mean, from a biblical perspective, the coming of Christ forever rendered the notion of an earthly temple, whether in Jerusalem or Missouri, obsolete. Why? Because it is the Savior and the saved who form the sanctuary in which the Spirit of the living God now dwells. So the conclusion for a Christian is all the types and shadows of the Old Covenant, including the temple, have been fulfilled in Christ. It's paradise, a new heaven and a new earth, not Independence, Missouri, for which our hearts yearn. It is a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, upon which we fix our gaze. And it is Jesus Christ, not a Mormon temple, that satisfies our deepest longings.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, you got it, Jeremy. Thank you so much for your call. Be back in just a few moments with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
What do you do when you don't know the answer to a question? Research and return is Hank Hanegraaff's policy when asked a question on the Bible Answer Man that he is unsure of, something we should all practice when we are unsure of an answer. The new 2024 revised and expanded collector's edition of the Complete Bible Answer Book is a testament to the policy of research and return, as each answer has been revisited and meticulously researched to ensure the utmost of biblical and theological accuracy. To receive your copy of Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Expanded, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Don't go away, Hank Hanegraaff. We'll be right back.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kathy next. She's listening in Leavenworth, Kansas. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I was asking, and you know what they call gay people. I kind of think they captured that word out of it somewhere. I don't know, but anyway, and they can, and they say, oh, well, we're Christian too, but they continue to go back to that lifestyle over and over, and that's the way they live their life. They go from one partner to another, or they stay with the one. But it's like they look forward to their sin, and I don't know how to respond to people who say that, because I don't get that out of the Bible at all.
Well, I think the basic idea of the Christian faith is that we realize that we're a sinner, regardless of what our besetting sin might be. We recognize that we're sinners, but we repent of that sin, which is to say, we turn away from that sin with God's help, and we follow Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. That's the essence of what conversion is. We don't want to do it our way anymore. We want to do it His way. So, can a homosexual go to heaven? Absolutely. But if they suggest that whatever God says is not really the way I want to do it, then they want to live their life not in repentance, but rather in rebellion. And those are those who are not saved, and that is because they don't want to change. The real issue is a matter of the will. It is a matter, do you want Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior, or do you want to be the arbiter of what is right and wrong in your own life? So the issue becomes, are you willing to recognize your sin, repent of your sin, and follow Jesus Christ? Now, you can repent of your sin and still fall back into it. I mean, that's part of the human condition. Every single day, the redeemed sin and thought, word, and deed. But we're redeemed not because of our own righteousness that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. We are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but we are still fallen sinners that struggle with the powerful lure of sin. That doesn't mean we're not redeemed. It means that we want to do it His way as opposed to doing it our own way. And thank God that we are covered by His righteousness, and that the one who covers us with His righteousness is also changing our willer. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Anthony in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Anthony.
Hi. How are you today, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I have always been listening to your program. In fact, this is my first time on. I have a two-part question, Hank. I'd surely be needing your assistance.
Okay.
Can you just share what the scripture says about, you know, Christian involvements in war?
Well, I think that Christians can be involved in the military just as it is right for Christians to be employed by the police force within a country. Because there is such a thing as love biblically, and there's a distinction between real love and that which is falsely called love. True love protects the innocent against the evil of an aggressor, and that kind of love sometimes leads to war. So my point in bringing up the police is this: if military action is not allowed in order to maintain order among nations, then by logical extension, police should not be permitted to maintain the order of a nation. And of course, we know that the police are permitted to maintain the order of a nation. And then going in the other direction now, we would presume that also military people would be ordained to stem a tide of evil. So if you look at the World War II scenario, here you had an evil aggressor seeking to institute as law, not only from the perspective that they had of natural law, but a moral law by which there are superior people and inferior people, and the inferior people were actually eradicating the possibility of the superior people to evolve to what their true potential was. And therefore, it was right and proper for the American military to do all they could to thwart that horrendous evil against humankind made in the Imago Dei, in the image of God. So we have that not just right, but I would say we have that responsibility. Again, this is all within the context of an imperfect world.
I am agreeing with you to the extent of your saying, if a war is justified, if all the facts on the table points to the justification, as you explain, soldiers going to protect those who are, let's say, at disadvantage. But is all the wars that the present church is supporting, are all these wars justifiable?
No, they're not. And the point you make is a brilliant point. It is absolutely true. We're talking here in principle about just war theory. And so your question underlines the salient point that if a war is to be fought, it has to be fought in the interest of just and right principles. Now, bear in mind that we do live in a fallen world, and therefore we're dealing with these kinds of principles within that context. But nonetheless, your point is an absolutely significant point that should be made in the context of answering the question, yes.
Yeah, my point, though, not delaying, but really my question has to do with the church. And from what I'm seeing in this present-day church, there is much support for war in the name of Christianity. And, you know, much of that is fought over the interests of, you know, the church seems to be taking the interests of abortion as much more important in light of a Christian principles over, you know, some of these trends that we give creed to fight in wars.
And I agree with you. I mean, I think this is another very important point that you're making. And that's why I try to emphasize that when we look at who we elect in terms of leaders, we have to take a holistic view. We have to recognize that life or the life issue is not only the abortion issue. Now, I hate to put it that way because the abortion issue is a very significant issue, so I don't like to append the word only to it in any sense. But nonetheless, I think that you're bringing up a brilliant and a very important point. These are things that we should consider as part of the matrix. And by the way, something else, I think it's important to recognize that wars are permitted by God in the same way that divorce is because of the hardness of our hearts.
Sure.
But I appreciate your very reasonable, sound comments, and I think that they are instructive for all of us. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
God bless you, Anthony. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Price in Clearfield, Utah. Hi, Price.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good.
Thank you for your ministry.
You got it. Thank you.
I just want to ask you, since we have choices here on earth, accepting Christ, not accepting Christ, and then as a Christian, when we die, what makes 1,000 years or 500 years that somebody doesn't start the routine over again where somebody chooses to be after, you know, kind of how the evil or the devil started?
Well, on the one hand, I can say from the standpoint of a theological paradigm or a theological deduction that we'll be actualized in our choices. But on the other hand, from a practical standpoint, I would simply say this. It is impossible that someone who has been renewed by the Holy Spirit, whose temple now is the temple of the Holy Spirit, to fall out of love with God. In this life, we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It becomes ever dearer, ever nearer. And that only continues in eternity, because what we now see dimly, we will then see in brilliant light, because we will see Him, as it were, face to face. So our love, by the same token, will be accelerated exponentially in the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. So the possibility of turning from that love will no longer be a factor. So two ways of going about this. One is the theological deduction that I started with. The second is just the practical notion that in this life you grow in your grace and knowledge. That's what sanctification is all about. But in eternity, you're glorified. Then you will be, in practicality, what you are only in potential now. Now you are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Then you will be practically sinless. And so you will grow. You will be able to appreciate Jesus Christ, not through the filter of sin, but without the filter of sin. We will have a loving relationship, not only with our Creator, but with one another. And that is a day that we can look forward to with great joy and great anticipation. I write about that in my book titled Afterlife. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember our information as we close the broadcast via the mail. It's Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The web, equip.org, and the phone, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We do need your prayers and support. Please stand with us prayerfully and financially. It will make a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.